Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Hello, welcome to Man Baggage. My name is Russell Kane and I'm the host, and I'm here inviting men to share, to unpack their baggage, to milk the shaft of insight and see what viscous conclusions we can come to about the male psyche. All metaphors intentional. We have wide-ranging subjects. Sometimes we go deep, sometimes we go funny. Sometimes it can be frippery almost, like Christmas gifting, that then leads to some deep psychological insight about the way men value commercial worth and love. It's crazy where some of these episodes end up. I'll never forget a little warm-up question on height leading to 90 minutes of chat and the subject never beginning. Men are messed up in the most interesting and wonderful way, and if I can monetize that through a podcast, fucking go me. Today we're talking about a subject that everyone will have an opinion on: stubbornness. It controls every aspect of our life, from our leaders and their economic policies right through to our relationships and the children we're trying to raise. And the man's head who I'm drilling into for insight is going to be doubly interesting. I'm joined by the one, the only, Dr. Ranj Singh. If you don't know who he is, switch off and fuck off. You've lost my respect. But you'll see him all over, as well as being an actual real life doctor that I'm now sort of seeing face to face. Itself a miracle. You'll see him sort of like, you know, Jurassic Park when Richard Attenborough sees a dinosaur for the first time. A GP approaches. Maybe it'll be like Jurassic Park and you'll evolve ovaries and you could be both male and female GPs and breed with yourself and create more. Who knows? Anyway, Dr. Ranj, legend. You'll see him all over TV, but insightful, charming, excellent dancer. Is there nothing this guy can't do? We'll soon find out. But first of all, thank you so much for coming on.
My pleasure.
The other reason I think you're going to be brilliant is normally when I'm asking gendered questions, which are triggering on purpose, such as, are men more stubborn? You're going to have such a brilliant insight on this for the amount of men you must get through in surgery, in practice, where stubbornness almost has a pathology and an NHS page of its own. In fact, one could go as far to argue that stubbornness is one of the leading causes of men in physical death. I mean, it took my dad. I've got a chest pain. I'll just ignore that till bye-bye in 2003. Stubbornness is as deadly as some of the cancers and heart pains that come with it in men. Yeah. We know this. It's fucking dangerous. So I'm absolutely fascinated to get your opinion on that. But before we do, Ranj, just in case we drift into sexist generalizations of, well, you know what women are like, we have a strong female presence. A lady auditor, Lindsay Kane, is in the house. Well, it's my wife. There's no way of dressing it up. anything to save on the budget. But herself, a stubborn entrepreneur and successful woman in her own right, as well as having the personalities of triplets rammed into her angry, tiny, part Italian head. It'll be really interesting to get her insights as well. So, Dr. Ranj, first of all, this is the plugging moment where we talk about anything coming out that we can get excited about. I mean, you're already doing loads. It blows my mind you'd have time to do more, but anything coming up?
Oh, what's coming up? I'm doing Panto again this year Birmingham at the Hippodrome. It's Dick Whittington.
What a room. for people that don't know about theatre, Birmingham Hippodrome is an amazing, absolutely massive room for Panto. It's about 2,000 seats.
Exactly.
You must be nervous.
I'm nervous and excited in equal measures. I've not ever been to the Birmingham Hippodrome.
It's beautiful. Beautiful.
Stupidly excited about that. I love panto. So for me, pantomime, it's a magical, wonderful, lovely time of year. Yeah. It's something that the whole family get behind. The number of kids that I see and their families that just adore pantomime.
We're going to have to bloody come to this. It's not far from us, Ben. Yeah, we can do it in a couple of hours.
Exactly.
I feel a matinee brewing, Linz. I feel a matinee brewing.
Yes, get in there. For me, it's pure escapism. So I'm not theatre trained or anything like that, but I love theatre. I love music.
Operating theatre, you know, trade, obviously.
Yeah. Oh, our train, not this kind of theatre. But for me, it's the perfect escapism. I get to escape from London. I get to escape from my job. As much as I love my job, I get to go away and enter this magical land with these incredible people who I just look at and think, oh my gosh, how do you do this? And this year I'm going to be doing it with Marty Pellow.
Do we need to check which part you're playing? For those who don't know, it looks like Disney put Ranch together before he was born.
I'm playing the spirit of the bells, or the spirit of the bell end.
I was going to say, I'm glad you said it because it entered my head.
I have no idea what the part entails. It used to be played by Julian Clary. I'm obviously not going to be.
I just assume you'd be Prince Charming. You've got Disney face.
I've got proper Disney face. I am literally Aladdin personified, aren't I?
Yeah, definitely.
Bloody
had
awesome.
Aladdin last night. Boom boom. Yay! Oh, sorry, Russell, you do the jokes here.
I quite like that one. We're talking about stubbornness. Now, I'm going to ask you a very general question here, Ranj, but it holds more weight because of what you do for a living. You'll see middle class, working class, old, young, Gen Z, crusty old boomers. Are men more stubborn than women? Particularly, let's come at it from a health point of view.
Yeah, I mean, to be honest, to a large extent, you're correct. So a lot of people assume that I'm a GP. I'm not actually a GP, Russell. I work in A&E and I work with children, but I do come across a lot of people in healthcare settings.
Of course, and in your training, you must have been with seen all types of patients.
Exactly, exactly. And being a bloke myself, last time I checked.
Which is never. Who checks their balls? What a waste of time.
No, you're absolutely right. I think stubbornness, if you're going to generalise, you could say that blokes, males, are much more likely to exhibit that kind of behaviour. But I always like to think about, where's that feeling coming from? And it's stubbornness is the inflexibility, it's the resistance to change, and it's the assumption that you are right. And you are right, whatever you say you do, you feel is right. And that comes from, I think, the reason more blokes maybe are prone to this kind of thing is because society makes blokes think that they're always right, doesn't it? Let's be honest. If you're a boy, you're more likely to be more privileged in many ways, you know, that whole male privilege thing. And I think that breeds a kind of, I call it a slightly toxic trait, actually, that boys feel like they're always right. And girls are always going to be the ones who are more, you know, open to change and possibility.
On the day we're recording this, you've seen a very interesting example of it, where the day we're recording it, it's just been after a few days after Truss's and Kwarteng's controversial tax cuts for the rich, as it's being called, budget, with interest rates now spiraling. It looks like the country's going to the bloody dogs. In fact, if you work it out, middle class person who's about to save 10 grand on their bills, 10 grand on their tax bill, will spend exactly 10 grand more on their interest on their mortgage, making the whole thing completely fucking pointless.
Yeah.
Now, when you compare that to when Diane Abbott got a few sums wrong on telly, which led to no consequence because she was just thinking, like, not making policy. Yeah. Whereas Kwarteng, who's actually changed policy and collapsed the pound, she got in more shit. Yeah. So it seems to be men can entrench their position, be more stubborn and go, I'm right and I'm going to hold it. And there's literally less consequence. So this may be, Lindsay, this, you know, Dr. Ranji's right. This stubbornness is bred in boyhood. Now, we're staying on the commercial side of things at the moment. We will cross over the threshold to the emotional stubbornness in a moment, Lindsay. Don't you worry. But do you think that's this sort of male privilege leads to men, whether they be leaders, business people, men in the workplace, going, I'm right, wait and see, hold it out.
Yeah, well, like you say, the emotional side is completely different. So I would agree with what you said, Dr. Rand, in I do think it is different. And I do think that men in that sort of position, yeah.
So, for example, we've had a live situation in our family where we've just been begging your dad to go for a hearing test for about 2 years.
Oh, yeah.
And then we're, please go for a hearing test. Whereas with a woman, if you were like, do you know what, you've got a slight lump on your temple. You might want to get that checked, Kelly. I'm going tomorrow. I'm going to get checked out. You do not mess with that. I had an auntie who died from breast cancer. And boom, they're off to the doctor. 2 years of nagging it took to get my father-in-law. It wasn't until a recent bit of research was published correlating dementia with loss of hearing, which is fascinating, by the way. Look it up. It appears to be if you're not tuning into the minutiae of conversation and thing around you, you start tuning out generally. The cogs don't get oiled and there's a correlation with dementia. It wasn't until I thrust that under my father-in-law's face, we finally got him to Specsavers, confusingly, for a hearing test. And lo and behold, he's now got like the, you know, the DB5000 Bluetooth bad boys in and he's loving life. He can switch my mother-in-law off at will and he can also take a phone call right up his cochlea. He's loving it. It took two years.
Now that
happens with lumps on testicles and chest pains. I know it is because testicular cancer, something else I've been involved in, is one of the easiestly detectable and treatable cancers, if you're lucky enough to get a lump on the surface of your testicle. How many men walk around with lumps and then it's already spread? It's such an unnecessary death rate, purely based on, I'm right, I'm a man, I'm all right, I know my body, I'm not doing that, I don't need some flash posh telling me what to do. There's a lot of that that goes on with masculinity, Lynn, and it's a killer.
Yeah, but there are, I mean, I'm just judging it from my family, the females are very stubborn medically as well, like, you know, it'll be fine, it's just a cyst or whatever.
Yeah, but the statistics suggest, both in mental health and physical health, sadly there's only one ultimate measurer that you don't need to do a double blind placebo controlled trial on, and that is pegging it. And it is a killer of men, stubbornness, both to share, whether it's sharing a problem, whether it's confiding in a male or female friend or your wife that you're worried about money or stress or whatever, or whether it's ignoring something that's happening to your body.
Yeah, no, it's true.
You definitely see that in healthcare. You're absolutely right. Men are much less likely to seek help and support, whether it's a physical matter, whether it's a mental health matter, has real life consequences. My parents are exactly the same. My mum is the first person down the doctor's surgery. My dad is the last person to go down there. We tried to convince him to get a well man check because you're supposed to have that over a certain age. Everyone should have that. Get the basics done. That took ages. Eventually, when he got it done and they said, everything's fine, he was like, right, see, told you.
Waste of time.
I can go and have that massive fry up. It is a pain, but he's the same with his hearing. We're trying to currently convince him to go and get a hearing test and he won't do it.
Yeah.
But what is he scared of?
That he's going to be told that there's something wrong.
I know, but the thing, you can't even see my dad's hearing aid now. And now he's like, he can hear like a pin drop, can't he? And I think my dad wishes he did it sooner. Because God, all this time I've like not been hearing things. He's like, I wish I did it sooner.
Secretly, I think my dad likes it because like, I can tune my mum out. Selective hearing is what he's got at the moment.
So I think we've got a slight problem here with stubbornness and strength being muddled together in some people's heads. And if we talk about strength, that's seen, rightly or wrongly, ladies, gentlemen, and theys, as a masculine trait. I stood my ground. I held my strength. I didn't give way. Biceps bulging, holding off. So if stubbornness is a sign of masculinity, is it any surprise that men like to hold their ground and be stubborn because they feel more manly from it? Could that be something else that's feeding it?
Absolutely. Like, it goes back to that point of, where's it come from? It's about boys being put on a pedestal, boys being told that they're right, boys being told that they have to be a certain way, they have to be in charge, they have to be the leaders, and it breeds that kind of stubborn inflexibility that goes with it. I'm right, I'm the man, I'm the big man, and therefore I'm in charge, and I'm the one who's going to be, who basically can't be wrong. That, fortunately, I think, particularly with younger people nowadays, is changing. I think our ideas of masculinity are changing. I'm very conscious of the fact that we're having a very binary conversation here when it comes to, you know, we're talking about genders as male and female, and we have to acknowledge that life isn't that simple.
No.
Unfortunately, I think our ideas and feelings around masculinity are changing as well. But it comes from, and there's that traditional view, isn't there? There's this narrative that we need to change, that blokes are always told that they're right.
Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
This message comes from BOF sponsor eBay. You'll know real when you get it. It'll say eBay Authenticity Guarantee. And you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like the gem, or sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. eBay gets it. So look for the blue checkmark next to that thing you love. And be confident that every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is checked by experts. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I don't know if you've read any Mo Guddott. His books are brilliant. He's been on Bartlett twice. And I think it's better to talk about this. Traditionally masculine and feminine traits. So it doesn't matter whether you're a boy or a girl or somewhere in between. There are traits, just like in French, there are masculine and feminine nouns. There are tropes and traits in our culture which are perceived or taken as historically masculine or feminine. And these have an effect depending on your body identity and your gender identity and all of that. So it's maybe a safer way, but I'm not shy about using provocative generalizations on here if it gets to a nuanced discussion. Sometimes you've got to be a bit of a Jeremy Clarkson to end up as a non-Clarkson. I was trying to think of a good example then, as a Caroline Lucas. What about making change, Linz? I think men are worse at making change. So stubbornness, where they stick to a certain way or a certain mode or a certain relationship. And I think women are sometimes more flexible with that. I mean, you see it on a most basic level. I even used to have a stand-up routine about it. Those of us that are lucky enough to hang on to our hair, minoxidil, derma rolling, different podcasts, is men seem to develop what I call hair and music freeze around about 40 or 50 with whatever hairstyle they've got, they'll have until they die. They'll like the music they like. They'll have the friends they like. And everything sort of freezes. Whereas you'll see an old lady in her 80s changing her hair, trying new things, going off around the world. She might even remarry. Women just seem to be more flexible, don't they, Lindsay? Don't you think, when it comes to change?
I think they're possibly flexible, but I don't know. The females in our... We're very female-led in our family. We've got this... The men, you know, there's not many of them around, and we are very strong-willed and very stubborn. I feel like I've gotten better, and I'm less... I'm not as stubborn as I used to be, Emma Russell, like, from 10 years ago.
Oh, dear.
I'm not as bad.
No. What did we rehearse? No, darling, you are not.
So I...
Read from the script, I'll fucking hurt you.
No, but I think, I don't know, I'm probably the wrong person to ask because we are really stubborn. We are a family of stubborn females, all of them, even my six-year-old now.
Okay, so. Well, let me ask you a more difficult question then, because you're going to have to, if you want to keep taking it there, do you think stubbornness leads to lack of progress with achieving your life goals, achieving relationship goals and achieving happiness? And can you see a link between goals achieved and stubbornness and not facing up to things?
Yeah, 100%. So like, well, I've had like several breakdowns today, as I was telling you, just as I came on, and but I know you're, when we speak to each other and you're speaking sense and you're like, you know, maybe, you know, you can't change the way she's been with you.
For listeners, what we're talking about our six-year-old at the moment, who is like twins in one head and makes me look like, me looks like a calm Buddha. That's the child we've created.
Yes. And so I understand what you're saying to me, like, you know, you can't control like what she's doing, but you can control how you react to it. And that makes complete sense. But a part of me is like, no, I'm the mom, I'm the adult, and what I say goes. And there's a part, so we've got this battle of like, just a battle. You know, she wants to be right. She wants, you know, I want to be right because I'm the woman, I'm the parent. Mm. And so we've got a real battle here against each other.
But my point is, Ranj, there's a point where determination is absolutely valid, but where it crosses over into stubbornness. And I would argue the difference is determination carries on helping you achieve the goal you want. A well-behaved, in this occasion, a well-behaved, calm, happy child that's doing what you fucking want, but in a calm, emotionally integrated way. It moves into stubbornness, where you're holding your ground despite yourself and still not getting the results, but going, nonetheless, that's my fucking ground and I'm holding it.
And that's how my day... So my day's ended like this, and we're having a breakdown. Whereas
do you know what your six-year-old needs? Your six-year-old needs this.
Dr. Ranj's brain power. That's what I'm talking about.
That's what I need. That's what I need. Right, I'm going to get that.
Do you see what I mean, Ranj? Have you had times in your life where determination's obviously absolutely been necessary? You can't have got to where you've got to without being determined. But where you're entrenching a position beyond where it's used. We see it in our politicians, we see it in our families. Mm. Have you ever had anything like happen to you where you thought, now's the time to let go?
Yeah, I know what you mean. I get that point about determination, but sometimes you can use stubbornness in a positive way, can't you? Mm-hmm. Where you just like, no, I'm not letting this defeat me. I'm going to push through. And I'm like, it's kind of sort of lends itself a little bit to resilience, doesn't it? Just being stuck. I'm saying this to a point, you know, there gets some. To a point where that elastic band just snaps.
Exactly.
Yeah.
And you're damaging, you might still be totally like still in the middle and calm and resilient, but things are crumbling around you because of your stomach. We all know people like that. No, I'm not fucked off. I'm not bothered. And I'm going to.
No, but you've got, like a weird amount of willpower. Like I've never met anyone like you with willpower. Like you are one in a million with your willpower.
Don't know how you do it. Yeah, honestly. Absolutely.
What willpower? Like, I know, what do you mean?
No, just in general with anything that filters through from everything. You could be dying with a missing arm and leg and you'd still go to the gym and work out. You could have blood coming out.
I'd be done in half the time because there's only one leg and arm to work.
No, but this is what I mean. Where, you know, like I read the book that you wish your parents read. So in terms of like communicating and like, I understand. And, you know, when you did this or did that, it made me feel this way. Like, I can hear it in my head, but a part of me is like, no, I can't fucking say it because she's really pissed me off. I've got like twins on my shoulder, one saying, you know, be understanding. The other one's like, no, you're the parent and she's six and she's pushing boundaries. So I'm aware of it. I just can't help myself.
I think what Ranj is saying, what I'm trying to say is, to all the listeners, whatever you're trying to do, whether you're trying to achieve a goal at work, whether you're trying to parent a child, whatever, the stubbornness ceases to be useful when it's having the opposite effect on the goal. We all know where that point is and we've all gone past it. I've definitely been a CUNT that sat there going, oh, I don't care. Oh, it's out there, get going rusty. Good, I'm not moving, I won't give in. Whereas really, why leave something outside to go rusty that you care about? Sensible thing to do would be get it in, have a discussion about leaving things out in the garden. That's what should have happened. No, I will maliciously rust my own possession just to stubbornly sit. And that's the issue. It's funny what you're saying about resilience, Ranj. You'll love this, one of my favourite stubbornness facts. Stubbornness can help you live longer. It seems people can stubbornly choose to, no, I will not be dying today. According to a study on psychological traits that may lead to longevity, which involved a group of admittedly only 29 participants, but they were all ages 90 to 101 years old, it was found that stubbornness helped participants stay mentally vigorous because they were less likely to care about what others thought of them and in turn would have less external stress from it. As a stand-up, that's terrifying. How am I even alive now? I spend every night being calibrated by 1,000 people. I should have died years ago.
But there's a massive caveat to this. So I'm not a very stubborn person at all, which is why when you said, have you ever been stubborn to the point where it's been harmful? I'm like, no, I'm actually quite a malleable person.
Yeah, I'm the same. People pleaser.
Yeah, I'm a people pleaser. And do you know what? I'm always open to other ideas. And because I grew up in a very controlling family, my decisions weren't mine. So they were always my parents. Therefore, my opinion didn't bloody matter.
So so how come they were strict? Was it a religious upbringing? Was it what?
They're just very traditional. They're very traditional Asian working class family. You know what we say goes, doesn't really matter what your opinion is or what you think. And it was kind of like, yeah, right. Okay, fair enough. Me being stubborn is totally counterproductive then, isn't it?
Yeah.
It doesn't help anyone. Whereas my brother, who's a year younger than me, during the pandemic, went through a really rough time with his mental health, like really, really rough. Classic bloke thinking, I'm fine, there's nothing wrong, it's all going to be right. buried his head in the sand, stubbornly did not speak up or seek help, and got into really big trouble because of it, both in terms of his life and his mental health. And it was so hard, even to the point where he asked for help when he'd hit rock bottom, he was still being stubborn and resisting and saying, I don't want to see my doctor, or, you know, I don't want to seek out this help. I don't want to see a counsellor. And I'm like, oh, it's just it drives me mad. And I don't understand it. I just don't understand that.
What can men do? I mean, it's just from someone who sort of understands the human body and how we react to stress better than most, is there anything we can change? Is it checking in more? Do men need to hang out with their friends more in person? Have we lost that? Does that help?
We can talk about all of that stuff, but there are some people who will not change because it's so ingrained in them that they're very resistant to it because they just can't. They can't see outside their pattern of behaviour and thinking. For me, I think it's got to be about, right, what are we going to do about the people coming up? What are we going to do about the next generation? We've got to role model for them. We have to start role modelling these behaviours and making it acceptable to be like that and normalising it. You know, it shouldn't be the exception that blokes start to talk about their feelings. It shouldn't be. It is currently because blokes have never been allowed to do it and they've never been encouraged to do it. And now we're trying to undo those wrongs. From now on, we've got to role model that stuff. And we're seeing younger people being more open to that, thankfully. But it's going to take a really long time. But we've got a role model for our peers. We've got a role model for our kids and our young people. And anyone that's in any kind of, I think, public position where they're seen and they're visible, you have a responsibility to role model, especially as a bloke, which is why I get really annoyed at certain people who get catapulted in the media and on screen who have very, I think, negative role modelling behaviours. We're talking about the, it might be your mate, we're talking about the Ant Middletons of the world. Yeah. Who I have a fundamental problem with, and he knows.
Not a programme I'll be doing in a hurry, that one.
But yeah, it's, you know, that might be his personality. That actually made him very, very successful. Unfortunately, when you sat down and looked at that pattern of behaviour and the kinds of things he was saying and doing, it actually wasn't very healthy, I think, for young minds.
You go right to the top of the tree. I mean, look at the Prime Minister, who's just outgoing. Boris, affairs, this and that, bluster, lies are okay. It's all just banter, squeezing a girl's tit. At the very top of the tree in our country, the highest office you can hold. Not exactly role-modelling masculinity, was it?
And Trump.
And Putin and, you know, people who are in power. And it's always, you know, when they do something wrong, it's boys will be boys, isn't it? It's kind of like forgiven because of that. Whereas whenever you've had a female or woman in power, they're scrutinised so much
more. Yeah, that's so true. Yeah, but look at the different ways in the media when the women are hounded. I mean, look at, you know, like Ant and Dec, like with Ant going through all that, and then you've got Holly, and then you've got Caroline Flack.
Caroline at the time, friend of
mine. I mean, look at Meghan as well. You know, that it's awful. Like when you go online and you see all the horrible stuff, like it's really bad. And, you know, so I do think, you know, women do are having it different.
Okay, guys, we're going to take a break there. That is the end of part one.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.